You're listening to FC UM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FC UM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards it's a goal! It's the United's Paul Armstrong!
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's league match at Nuneaton Town from Saturday afternoon.
Hiya, I'm Maxine Peake. And you're listening to the wonderful FC United Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FC UM Radio. As well as the men's team's trip to Nuneaton, later in the show we'll also be hearing if the women's team could progress in the Argyle Cup with a tough away tie at Camel Laird. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week's news by announcing that FC United's 2018 general meeting will take place on Thursday the 12th of April at Broadhurst Park at 7pm. Any member intending to submit proposed resolutions are strongly urged to read Rule 29 of the club's constitution, which is available on the club website. And please note that if your membership has lapsed, you will need to renew before the 15th of March to be able to attend and vote at the meeting. To matters on the pitch and details of FC United's upcoming Manchester Premier Cup semi-final tie against Hyde United have been announced. The match will take place at Ewan Fields on Tuesday the 13th of February with a 7:45pm kickoff. And finally, just a reminder that this Friday's match between FC United and Chorley, as well as being on FC UM Radio, will also be broadcast live simultaneously on North Manchester 106.6 FM. FC Live will be going to air on both stations from 7:30pm, and of course you will also be able to hear all the post-match analysis from Swampy and the gang in your cars on the way home from Broadhurst by tuning in on 106.6 FM. To this past weekend's action now, and on Saturday afternoon, FC United travelled south to take on Nuneaton Town. On FC Radio's Friday night shindig, Ben spoke with FC United player manager Tom Greaves to hear how the squad was shaping up going into this one.
So welcome back to the show, Tom. Another trip away from home tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it. What have preparations been like this week since that excellent Curzon win?
We seem to be having a few of the away. Long away trips at the minute, but I suppose that's all part and parcel of it. We actually gave the lads the night off on Tuesday. I thought it'd been well deserved. They've worked hard. A lot of them have played a lot of minutes, so we gave them the night off on Tuesday, and then we was back in training on Thursday night. We had a good session together, and we're raring to go tomorrow. We do have a few injury doubts, and obviously the suspensions as well. So the squad's a little bit tight, but we think we've got enough to go there and get the 3 points.
Now you mentioned that in your post match interview on Saturday, just the fact that I think we forget about this. It is a very small squad that you're playing with at the moment, and yourself you rested yourself on Saturday, recognizing that you were a bit tired. How much of a challenge is it to juggle everything around?
We've just got to make sure we're managing each person. I'm sure the young lads will tell you that they don't want to rest. Nobody wants to rest. Everybody wants to play every game, but we're looking at the bigger picture. We've got to look after everybody. Obviously, I don't want to miss games either. I'm still a player as well. I want to be out there fighting for the points and scoring goals. But we've got to manage each person, and we've got to get the best out of everybody. So that's where the little rest have come from, especially for like myself, Connor and Linney over the last three games. We have got a small squad, but that's kind of how I want it as well, so that everybody's there or thereabouts, the first team, and they know that they're not too far away if they are on the bench.
Now, what we're looking like then, what can be divulged with regards to suspensions and maybe people who aren't going to make late fitness tests tomorrow?
Yeah, so we've got obviously Kieran, Stevie and Zach all suspended. We've got Joe Logan, who's still out. We think he needs an operation now. And then we've got Scott Kerr, who's in a little bit of a doubt. He's struggling with an infection in his toe, which is causing him a lot of grief. And I mean, Scott will tell you he'll want to play the games. But again, we've got to look after everybody. We don't want anything to be a bit any more long term than it has to be.
Do you want me to bring my boots tomorrow? I was quite good at right back. Do you want
you could do that. That'd be great for us. Yeah,
not got the lungs I used to have, just to say. But anyway, you've got. So he's going to be. It is to the bare bones tomorrow. Are we expecting any of the fringe players who've perhaps been people like Gilchrist, for example, or Tatum to be featuring in your thoughts going into tomorrow's game?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, Sam and Gilly will both be in the squad. We've actually brought in a lad called Danny Rackie as well. A few fans might know who he is. He's been around quite a while. He's a good experienced player. He's been at Huddersfield as a kid and Bury. He went up to Scotland for a couple of years. Then he came back and was at Halifax. And then he's had a spell with Torquay as well. Again, he's had a couple of bad injuries. So he originally started training with us just basically to get fit. But he's impressed. And obviously with the suspensions and injuries this week, he might have a chance as well. So he's going to come into the squad. The likes of Tyrell and Jones, they probably get a chance to start tomorrow. And then obviously myself, Linnea, Connor have all had a rest. So we feel ready to go. So, yeah, there could be a few changes in the starting 11.
Where does Danny Rackie play? What position?
He's like a holding midfielder, so pretty much like a Scott Kerr role, so he's coming at the right time.
Well, that's good news. That is good news.
Yeah.
Well, we're playing Nuneaton tomorrow, and obviously that brings back memories of your first game as caretaker manager.
Yep.
Not too long ago. First win on the board, straight off the bat.
Yeah, that was great.
What's your thoughts with regards to just the symbolism? It's the return match.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah, obviously there's great memories of the first one. But we know, again, it's going to be a different type of test for us tomorrow. They're in a relegation battle as well, and nobody wants to be in them relegation battles, so they'll all be absolutely fighting for their lives. Nobody wants a relegation on their CV. So it's going to be as big a test as the Salfords and the Harrogates, really. So we're quite prepared for another battle.
Tom Greaves there on FC Radio's Friday Night Shindig. To the match itself now, and with FC United looking to get their first away win in the league since August, it's over to our FC Live team now to set the scene in Warwickshire.
Welcome everyone to Liberty Way, and team news this afternoon, and for the first time ever, it's quite pivotal team news. Dramatic. We've got three suspensions and two players out injured.
And a Geordie comedian making his debut.
And a Geordie comedian making his debut. Yes.
Geordie comedian. No, basically we've got to hit I might use that in commentary. Don't peek too soon, Swampy. Don't peek too soon.
So we've got a new signing in Daniel Rackie, and we discussed this on the Friday Night Shindig. He's been to some big name clubs, but Kilmarnock, he's been to Torquay, he's been to Tamworth, he's been to Valla in Iceland.
I've been to all these places, Ben, as well.
He's played in India.
He has played in India. That's something that we didn't know, actually, that Paul found out. How did you find that out, Paul? Where was that information?
Wikipedia.
Was it?
Yeah.
We didn't see that on the Wikipedia page last night, did we?
I researched it properly.
No, I don't think you're right. But he's played for Bury as well, against FC.
No, he didn't play in that game.
He did.
No, he did. He came on as a sub.
No, he didn't come on as a sub. He played the game. Were you listening at any stage?
I was listening to It'll Be Off earlier, and we said he didn't play.
No, we said he played in that game. We couldn't find any information. So what did we do, Ben? We asked Tom Greaves, and Tom Greaves went, "Did you play?" And he went, "Yes, I played."
I don't think he did.
No, he did. He said he played.
Anyway,
goodness gracious.
So he's coming straight in. He's been training, trying to get his fitness up. And obviously, the time is right because Kay is out injured this afternoon.
He's 30 years of age. He's a central midfield holding player. He's also a man, probably the first ponytailed bund. FC player, we believe,
that's ever graced.
I'm confirming it. Although he's wearing a headband as well, so he looks more like a pirate, in all fairness. I'm honest, Trev might have him on his boat. Might take him down the River Irwell on his barge.
Also, we've got out suspended today Irwin, Glynn, and Corbett. That's our real discipline.
Corbett with a four match suspension. Unfortunately, looking back at that sending off against. Against Kidderminster, it was a travesty. It was never a sending off, but the referee deemed it so. Two games for Steve Irwin, that's an accumulation of yellow cards, and a one-match suspension for Kieran Glynn for being a very naughty boy.
And that's left us in a bit of a predicament where we've either got Basso, who's come back as a substitute goalkeeper this afternoon. We are to the bare bones here, aren't we?
Well, we've got a small squad, and you know, that's the cut of our jib at this moment, Sam. That's the way we have to rock and roll. And I think we've still got quality in the team. I think we've got a good, impressive starting 11, and I think we've got an exciting bench, Paul.
Yes, with Basso on it.
Yes.
We should also add as well, when we speak to Tom Greaves, he does like having a bit of a smaller squad. He wants players to know that they're, you know, one match away from getting a shot at the first team. So
he doesn't have to learn as many names.
And that as well, yes.
I think, you know, there's a few clubs that have had and gone through seasons with 16 or 17 players and done very, very well. If you keep them all fit, and that's the thing, is trying to keep players fit. And a small squad sometimes can really, really help. Having 24, 25 players on a lot of occasions can just be very disjointed in training. You know, players are all vying for positions, but you never get, for me, the kind of team camaraderie as you do with a smaller squad. And FC have cut the cloth accordingly. We can't bring any big names in, unfortunately, but we bring in players with a little bit of talent, a little bit of quality. We know the likes of Gilchrist, who, when he had that 5-10 minutes when he came on a couple of weeks ago, still looked good, held the ball well and changed the dynamic of the game. So we've got some good quality players, and FC United match this afternoon will hopefully be going on and trying to win this game.
And the other thing to add as well, because it's FA Trophy weekend, there's a lot of teams in the National League North not playing this afternoon. There's also been three postponements due to the weather. Curzon Ashton against Gainsborough, Salford against Bradford Park Avenue, Southport against Telford. So
I think Curzon's off, isn't he? Yeah.
There is an opportunity to... We've not won since York away from home, we should say.
This is our chance. This is our away win, our first away win since August in the offing, if we play our cards right.
Yeah, 159 days ago.
Today is the day.
So, you know, well, let's hope it is.
My point I was going to make was it does mean that we have the potential here to make a few sides in the playoff positions or thereabouts look around them going, what are this lot doing here?
Well, listen, if we can win our game today and other results go our way, then yeah, but listen, we need to be that 45 points, don't we, by the end of this month, and then I think we can relax a little bit, and you never know, we might get a push for the playoffs. But at the same token, I don't think we're in the right time for the club yet. Maybe
I just think it's important just to be there or thereabouts in March and April.
Nuneaton are not prolific. Ashley Chambers has scored nearly half their league goals, and their second top scorer, Jordan Nicholson, has gone back to Peterborough now.
Well, the teams are now out on the pitch, so it's now time to hand over to our expert commentary team for this afternoon. FC Live brought to you by CushutTCody.com and the Armchair Army. It's Nuneaton against FC United. It's Stato Paul and Swampair.
A bit of interception plays. An opportunity, should be a goal. And it is a goal, and it's the number 9, Ashley Chambers. And he was left unmarked, and again, it was some good work, though. And FC United not put a challenge in there. And again, Ashley Chambers, well, he was left in space, and he slotted it in. Nothing FC's goal kicker could do, and it was coming, to be honest, Paul, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he's probably the only main threat to score a goal for Nuneaton. He's scored now 16 in the league out of 35. And the referee's got bored.
Well, that's 3 points to Nuneaton this afternoon here at Nuneaton, and FC United and Manchester. Well, they never got out of the blocks, in all fairness. For the full 90 minutes, they were second best to pretty much every ball, Paul. They were lacking in ideas and quality, and the Nuneaton players and management team really, really put FC United under cosh and made sure that FC United couldn't play their football in any way, shape or form this afternoon.
I think it was a lacklustre performance in a lacklustre game. It was more borer than borer this afternoon, really.
You've been stirring that one up, mate.
I think he has.
Yeah, that was well timed and well played.
It was a poor game. Not from a Nuneaton perspective. I mean, they were positive. They had some good football. They played intricately when they needed to do so. We never tested them at any real stage of the game. There was no part of that game really where you thought we've got a stranglehold, a 5 minute period where FC United and Manchester could really show a bit of quality. I've not seen a team play such a high line against FC or against anybody, so really, really effectual for them as well. And it's just as you said, it's a poor performance with a team and a makeshift team at that, really, from FC. Two centre midfield players making their full debuts, playing for 90 minutes, really. A 30-year-old in Damien Rackie, who, as I say, not played for 2 years, been good in training and showed a bit of quality out there when he had the ball. But again, it's a hard game to come into, this, the the suspensions have really, really affected FC this afternoon. A K in the middle of the park this afternoon would have been instrumental, as would a Steve Irwin, and the game may have been different, but unfortunately it's not to be, and we leave here pointless.
Yeah, we played a struggling side today who were desperate for points, and we just didn't really threaten them enough. We just didn't put enough moves together. That move at the end where Sini was fouled and we won a free kick on the edge of the box, that was probably the best thing we did all afternoon.
Yeah, and it was a lovely bit of play as well, in fairness, but you know, we get a free kick and then we don't even hit the target from you know, distance, so unfortunately it's one of those, isn't it, Ben? You lose games, and it's sometimes the manner in that you lose, and FC, I'm sure, I know Tom will be very disappointed, and I'm freezing.
And the thing about it is, it does go back to the makeshift nature of the midfield in many ways. The clearances we were making in the first half, you say Nuneaton had a higher line. The second balls were being won by Nuneaton as well, because and there wasn't much creativity, was there, from FC's midfield throughout that full 90 minutes. Would you expect that kind of creativity in such a makeshift?
They weren't allowed to. The creativity wasn't there because basically they couldn't get out of their own half, basically, because Nuneaton were actually pretty much only 10 yards off the halfway line. Their back line were there, the midfield were there, and they just put all the pressure on and made us make mistakes, and they were the better team. You know, it's simple as that, really.
And the other thing to add as well, I mean, we said this at half time, didn't we, Paul, that you know, if those players missing was due to injury, then fair enough, but that it's due to suspension, and that's the
three banned players.
The annoying thing about this
is self-inflicted.
Yeah, but the thing is, Tom already says, you know, there's a belief in the dressing room. They're all playing for the places to a degree, and you know, he believes in these players. They haven't shown it this afternoon, but the same token, you know, we've got a big game on Friday now against Chorley, and you know, it's one of those games, isn't it, really, where you know you want to make amends, and at Broadhurst Park, perhaps. Unfortunately, Steve Irwin's still missing. You want Kay back in that team against Chorley. Chorley, obviously, since losing Norton, have not really been the same team. But equally, it's a performance that you can pick to pieces in many ways. But the team on the day just weren't up to it, and they were outdone and outfought and outbullied by many, many other players around on that pitch. The other thing to bear in mind as well is, you know, we have got no real recognised goal scorer.
No.
Which doesn't help either, does it?
And someone got in touch, didn't they, and said, you know, you're 1-0 down and you don't bring on your only substitute striker on the bench. And that's true, isn't it, Paul? I mean, we had Adam Gilchrist on the substitute's bench this afternoon, and we went with Jones. But that does answer another problem that we had, which was during that commentary I said, it doesn't look like we've got a killer ball in us, and
no, you know, I mean, you could count on the hands of one finger the number of times we strung five or six passes together today, and that was partly because of the poor quality of the play, but also the fact that Nuneaton hunted us down, pressed us, closed us down, played a high line, and made life uncomfortable for us, which is their right, but we never looked like overcoming it. And that's the disappointment.
I mean, just to get your excuses checklist ready for you know, some of the explanations. I mean, a lot of the passing for FC United this afternoon, we just didn't find another player. We tried a lot of crossfield balls. For some reason, FC United today, and it was Allinson, it was Racky, it was everyone really, couldn't get the ball in the air. Every time they kicked the ball, they were slipping all over the place, and it was like we just weren't used to this pitch or couldn't get our heads around it.
I mean, I think one of the problems as well is that if you're playing Greaves and McCarthy up front, isolated, you've got four defenders around two men. And when you're playing it flat, or whether you're even playing it high, you're really going to get, unless the two front men work really, really hard, they're going to get out-battled by four against two. And you've got no midfield support. We didn't have a midfielder today who could get forward quickly enough and support them. So even when we got the ball and tried to play it forward, It just kept coming back again.
It really did. We've had a couple of comments come in. Chris, our record away is shocking. Some of these defeats should be at least draws. And you know, we've not won away from home since August. York. We have had some good displays away from home. We had Blyth, we had Spennymoor recently, and Salford. Those were good away performances. But
not wins.
But not wins. And it's places like this and Gainsborough.
This reminded me of Gainsborough all over again. I mean, Gainsborough, we were playing a poor struggling side. We conceded a goal in the first half, and we never really looked like getting back into the game. And today was just another rerun. It was another team in blue shirts, and it was the same old, wasn't it?
And David's been in touch, was hoping for a point today, poor performance. Were there any good performances today from SC?
As a team? You mean as individuals?
Yes. I mean, everyone had the moments. I mean, McCarthy had his moment down here and over on the far side. Baird's been had some good moments, as has Hughes. I mean, there was a couple of people who got in touch with us on Twitter when Hughes got booked and went, well, there you go, typical. But he's had a good performance, and it wasn't a booking, to be fair. It was ridiculous.
If you were trying to pick a man of the match today, you would really, really find it difficult.
Nobody has taken the game from and taking it to Nuneaton this afternoon. There's been flashes of it. The best chance, really, creativity-wise, was Senior and Crawford and McCarthy linking up well, and then a cynical foul just on the edge of the Nuneaton box. That was about as close as it came. There was a half chance on about the 89th minute, once it down on this near over on the far side there, which the goalkeeper just about covered. There was a time as well where Tatum crossed it in from the left and it hit the bar. But that's it.
Allenson had some industrious moments playing at right back.
Yeah, that was really odd, wasn't it? But it's just been one of them afternoons, and it is like Gainsborough. There's no way around it. It's very, very similar in the fact that we've come further than Birmingham and come back with nothing again. Yeah. We don't travel well, do we?
No, we don't, and that's something that's going to have to be addressed. Whether it's next season, which probably will be, I expect that, you know, we need to look at the fact that the home form at the moment is the only thing that's going to keep us up.
Someone said as well, Chris has been back in touch, we never seem to be up for the games against the teams lower down. And that's been a criticism of FC United, not just in the Tom Greaves era, but in the
last week with Curzon. I don't think you could say last week against Curzon we were not up for it. I think that was a good battle, wasn't it?
There's nothing else to be said, really. I think this is going to be the shortest one more cup of coffee we've ever done.
I believe none heating. There has been no heating.
In the heatons.
Played against a team that, on paper, below us, not won since the Boxing Day. FC though hadn't won away from home since that glorious victory against York City. And, the game itself was not one, really, that FC United supporters or players alike will want to look back on. It was a game that was won and fought and convincingly beaten by a team that bullied us more, wanted it more, and played the better football all afternoon, really. And at 1-0, I think we'd all agree it's a little bit flattering that it could have been considerably more, but it's only 1-0. It's another defeat, unfortunately, but we go again on Friday, so we'll see you live and exclusive as always against Chorley at Broaders Park. And from me, it's a very goodbye and good afternoon to you all,
and it's a good night from me.
Tom, thanks for joining us. Long, arduous trip down to Nuneaton and 90 minutes that you'll probably want to forget.
Yeah, definitely. We've been distinctly average today at best. That's not to take anything away from Nuneaton. They played well, they defended well, but we struggled to get into the game today. We were poor on the ball, poor off the ball. Second to second balls, we didn't win enough headers. We were poor all over the park today.
What do you put it down to? Because obviously you've had a look at this, a team who have been struggling in division. Obviously, FC's away form has been equally as poor. Only one win in 159 days against York City.
Yeah.
Did they surprise you in their attack this afternoon compared to what you've been looking at and how they perform ordinarily?
Yeah, that's something that we've spoke about. Obviously, it's getting round the non-league system now that we play three at the back, and teams are probably figuring us out a little bit. So we spoke about changing. We didn't think we could do it for today because we hadn't had time to work on it. It's something, if you're changing system, we don't just want to drop on the lads. So it is something that we will look at doing. But nah, credit to them, they've played well, they've defended well, and they're a good solid side. Again, another full-time team, but different type of game today. They're fighting for their lives. Nobody wants a relegation on their CV, and you could see that today. They battled for every single ball, and we were second best.
I mean, from the word go, they played such a high line. I don't think I've seen a team play such a high line. The back four were primarily playing as midfield players, and the midfield players were only within about 5 yards, and they won pretty much every second ball. Didn't give any of our midfield players an opportunity to really outplay, and that suffocated the team, didn't it, really?
Yeah, it did, yeah. They pinned us in. They made it difficult for us. That's what you've got to do in a football match, and like I say, we were second best, and they did that well today. It's something that we will look at. We'll watch that game back again. It was a heavy pitch. It didn't let us play our normal game. We like to get the ball down, as you know. Obviously, had to make a few changes in the side. That's not making excuses, because obviously we bring these lads in and we believe in every single one of them. We still do. That doesn't change after today. It's just one of them days, a bad day at the office for me.
Well, those changes, obviously, two players making their debut today, as in full 90 minutes.
Yeah.
How did you think they fared?
Yeah, I thought Danny did very well, to be fair. I thought he was one of the better players. Terrell, the other... First 90 minutes?
First full 90 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Terrell started well, probably faded off the game a little bit. He started well in the first 10 minutes. But again, they're new to each other. They barely knew each other from Adam to start of the game, so it's a difficult one. Obviously, we've lost five of our starting 11 for the game today, so it was always going to be difficult. But we believe in these lads, and we thought we had enough to get something from the game today. Obviously not.
1-0 at half time, in a game, as we said, dominated really by them. The pressure rising and the work rate from FC was certainly there, but at the same time, we just weren't up with them. What was said at half time to try and change things around?
We changed shape. So we tried, obviously, Joel Senior and Wizzo were getting quite a bit of joy down that side. It's a difficult job, that wing back job, though. They've got a lot of ground to cover. So we went to 4-4-2, getting Joel and Linny pushed on a little bit. I thought we did better second half, but still not good enough and not what we expect to be.
Not many chances in front of goal.
No.
A couple of opportunities that we made the look ourselves on the left-hand side, and you getting the ball across and didn't quite come off for us. Some of our supporters in during the game on the radio were a little perplexed why you didn't bring on Gilchrist. When we were chasing a goal and you brought on a midfield player, could you just maybe give us an idea of the reasons why you did that?
The first two, we wanted to get the wingers on because we thought that's where we'd get the joy. And then Terrell was just tiring a little bit, so that's where Jonesy come on in the midfield. Myself and Connor have been good at getting late goals of late, so it's just one of them things. We did feel like it could come for us. It just wanted to be today.
Few days rest now until Tuesday in training session, then a training session on Thursday, which will be a little bit of a different training session, I would expect, because obviously the game against Chorley comes on the Friday. So how do you change things around during the training? Will you maybe get him on Monday and do a Wednesday, or you used to do Tuesday and then a light training session on the Thursday?
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do the Tuesday as normal, and then the Thursday will be a very, very light, looking at different shapes, looking at different formations kind of training session. Potentially working on a few set pieces and things like that as well, because we're coming across a lot of teams that have got at least three or four different set pieces. So it's something that we can put into our game as well, and a Thursday night quiet session will give us a chance to do that.
And as you say, again, today playing against a full-time team, we know there are several of those clubs in this division that are full-time. But you're going to be looking at those players that are... have started today perhaps for next week as well, or are you going to have a think about maybe changing that around against a different time? Chorley, we know them very, very well. They've just lost Norton, their key goal scorer, so it's going to be a different type of game, more of a derby game.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously we're at home, and recently at home we've been decent in a 3-5-2 shape, but like I said before, I think teams are starting to figure us out a little bit now, so we need something different up our sleeve to go and get the 3 points. It's valuable now that we do bounce back and go get them points.
And finally, I know, obviously, from a club perspective, we've got no money really, but are you still looking at trying to bring players in? We saw, obviously, today, you know, a new player coming in Danny, and I thought personally you could see the quality of a player who's not played for 2 years. I thought a testament he lasted the full 90 minutes. Yeah. Were you still out looking for players to try and take us, you know, forward and that extra step?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you can see that there's tired legs out there. We looked a little bit lethargic, a little bit slow today. So, yeah, it is difficult with the budget that we've got. But, yeah, we're actively looking for new signings. And if somebody's good enough to come in, then they'll come in.
Well, listen, as always, thanks for being open and honest. A game, perhaps, that I think if we played for another hour and a half, might have been still a 1-0 result. But good luck for next week.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
Swampy there speaking to FC United's player-manager Tom Greaves following that 1-0 defeat for the Reds at Nuneaton Town. Next up for FC will be a tough home game against promotion-chasing Chorley. Please note that this match will be taking place this coming Friday evening at Broadhurst Park. Kick-off in North Manchester will be at 7:45 p.m. But if you cannot make the game in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Friday evening from 7:30 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk. And don't forget, FC Live will also be making their debut on North Manchester FM on Friday night, with full coverage also available on 106.6 FM in and around North Manchester on Friday evening, also from 7:30 p.m. To the women's team now, and following a mini break from competitive action, Luke Podmore's side returned to Argyle Cup matters, with the holders travelling to the Wirral to take on Camel Laird on Sunday afternoon. It's over to the WT Live team now to hear how the Reds got on.
Hello everybody, and welcome to a very, very special Women's Team Live. You join us here in Cheshire, and being very generous there. It's got a Cheshire postcode anyway.
It's Wirrally.
It's Camel Laird against FC United of Manchester in the Argyle Cup here at Kirklands. And, well, first things we have to say is a big thank you to the volunteers at Camel Laird Football Club for the hospitality. It's been superb, getting us electricity, getting us a table, a nice coffee and chips as well. It's a return to the North West Counties days.
A match programme.
Yeah. It's a return to the North West Counties days, isn't it, Paul?
Yes, very impressive.
It is.
It's an interesting surroundings for a very important cup tie, this.
Now, we'll get to the team news in a second or two. The teams are all out on the pitch, but we do have to mention the pitch. Camel Laird's men's team played on this pitch yesterday, and I'm going to suggest, Paul, it looks like it.
Well, the word camel comes to mind.
Let's give you the team news. And FC United have, defending champions in the Argyle Cup, and they're taking this competition seriously this season like they did last season. Chloe Ainsworth is in goal, though, substitute goalkeeper normally, but proven pedigree at various clubs, not just in this country. We've got centre-back trio of Fran Davis and Abby Carrington and Jess McCarrick. In midfield, we've got Rebecca Foster, Cara Fields and Olivia Greenall. On the wings, we've got Beth Tattersall, and we've got Kirsty Chambers, and up front, all on our own, we've got Jess Battle. And substitutes for FC United, Chelsea Patient, Mia Holden, Amy Weiss, Gemma Jackson and Jennifer Lomax. And we are underway here. Well, here he's come on Laird on the attack now, and a nice through ball there, and I think they're going to score, and they do, out of absolutely nothing. Hannah Parry gets a nice through ball there. She's one-on-one with the goalkeeper. And the first proper chance Camel Laird have had in this dominated 25 minutes. And Camel Laird score.
Yes, very much against the run of play. The home side have got the lead and they're celebrating wildly. The goalkeeper's on the halfway line joining in. They know the importance of that goal.
Well, she's played a part in it. She's kept Camel Laird in it these opening 25 minutes. They've had one attack.
And this is a real test for the visitors now to come back.
And here is Cara Fields now. Fields does well, opens up a body, shoots! Top corner, what a goal from Cara Fields. 47 minutes on the clock here at Kirklands, and FC United have got a very, very importantly timed equaliser, Paul.
Well, that was a devastating strike, wasn't it, from the position she was in. It was probably the only way they were going to beat this keeper, something that was devastatingly into the top corner.
Picked up by the number 10. That's battling away there between Foster and Greenough and the number 10. Number 10's just gone, blah, I don't care. Is McCarrick. Oh, and,
that was
well,
silly.
Right in front of the referee. And
Becca Foster's got a big smile on her face because she knows that somebody else is going to be in big trouble.
And I think this could be big trouble because that was a kick out there and it's a red card. It's a straight red for Chelsea Hodgin. And to be fair, she didn't get the decision she wanted. And Foster's running past her and she kicks out at her. And it's pretty much the same as Christy Chambers' red card on Merseyside roughly this time last year.
Well, it's unusual for us to see an opposing player sent off. In a women's game. I have to say that because usually it's one of ours.
That's probably full time, yes. That is full time. And, well, put my dinner in tinfoil. It's going to be extra time. Paul. Oh, McCarrick wins that ball back and does well. She's got a bit of space in front of her now on the right hand side. Heading towards the penalty area. Plays it to Sullivan. Sullivan holds it up. Plays it back to Greenough. Greenough does well. Is she lining up a shot? No, she's lining up a through ball. She try and finds Fields. It breaks to Foster. Foster now. Foster on the edge of the box. She might as well have a dig. She does have a shot. It's powered by the goalkeeper. Damn. And into the net it goes. And with 11 minutes played of extra time, FC United have finally got that second goal, Paul.
Well, the shot from distance, I think Charlotte Perry got her hands to it but just couldn't keep it out enough. She couldn't get enough force behind the ball. So there you are, the 50th shot of the game for FC, and it could be the game breaker.
50 shots on goal and finally FC United get the second. There's a run there from Vias. It's cut out. Is the ball going to break to Battle? No, it breaks to the centre back for Camel Laird. There's Jones, and Battle trying to win the ball off Jones, who plays it back to Perry. Oh, that's risky stuff. Gets to Carrington, and that is game, set, and match for FC United. 3-1. The final goal there coming right on the end of extra time, Paul.
Well, I think that was partly fatigue. I think they look really broken at the back now, Camel Laird. Abby Carrington, I don't know what she was doing there from left back in the 120th minute, but there she was in the right place, close to goal, to stick it in an unguarded net.
And that is full time, and a hard fought game here at Kirklands, but in the end FC United, who've dominated this game in the 122 minutes that have taken place here in this quarter final of the Argyle Cup, FC United 3-1 winners. How many chances have we had, Paul? That is the main talking point, to be fair.
My screen closes.
Luke Pomor's not going to be happy with how many chances we've created in that game. I'll tell you, Paul.
You've got it on yours, haven't you?
35 shots off target, 24 shots on target.
59-2.
Camel Laird with two attempts on goal. Yeah. One of them went in.
Yeah.
Camel Laird have really dug deep in this game. It goes to extra time. And in the end, FC United 3-1 winners.
Yeah, I think we've got to give credit, first of all, to Camel Laird for hanging in there for 2 hours of toil, when it really has been hard work for them. We've also got to give credit to the FC women's team, because for 2 hours, they have stuck to the task. They have not wavered in their determination to win this game, to win this tie, and they deservedly get through to the next round. But they've been pushed all the way by a good goalkeeping performance and some resolute defending.
Credit goes to both Parry and Perry. Parry's been the lone striker for Camel Laird and has tried her best to hold up the game as much as she can. But it has been a red wave all the way through this. The second half, FC United going at our time, 1-0 down. The second half, it started off with a bang. Cara Fields, 2 minutes into the second half, getting on the score sheet for FC United. And then it's pretty much the same as the first half. It's chance after chance, wave after wave. But nothing sticking for FC United.
Yeah, I think our team were camped in the opposition half for most of the match. They found it very hard to break through and create clear goal scoring opportunities on what we have to say is a difficult pitch, where the ball has bubbled, particularly at the wrong moments for our team.
We are going to give player of the match to Charlotte Perry, the Camel Laird goalkeeper. Commiserations to Camel Laird, but a big congratulations to the FC United women's team. We should go now because we've been here
a long time
and it's been a long weekend for FC Radio. But anyway, we're through to the next round of the Argyle Cup. Next up, for the women's team is an away trip to Warrington Wolverines next weekend in the league. Then there's a County Cup match for FC United.
The 18th is a mystery date.
Yeah, it's a mystery date. It's either going to be against Urmston or West Didsbury in the County Cup semi-final. We'll have more on that when we have more information. A big thank you to Statoil Paul. Coming up now for podcast listeners of the post-match thoughts of Luke Podmore. He's joined by the wonderful Neil Boo. But that's it here for Women's Team Live on a Sunday. It's finished. FC United and Manchester 3-1 winners here at Camel Laird. Onwards and upwards for the women's team. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Okay, I'm here with FC United head coach Luke Podmore and opening scorer Cara Fields, super midfielder. Thought you were probably the best on the pitch as well for us today. You seem to play it well through the middle, not letting the surface get in the way of your skills. How did you see it?
I thought it was good. I think the key is just like keeping the ball on the floor and making sure that when it's on we play it and we're not forcing it through the middle. And I think we did that well, especially in the first half, to kind of try and break them down. And it was just about patience, and once the goal went in, we knew we could get more.
Yeah, I think that was what it was really, weren't it? We seemed to have a lot of possession and a lot of shots, and they didn't seem to have much really to threaten us too much. But when they go 1-0 in front, Luke, you've got to start wondering it sometimes. Is it going to be our day?
Yeah, I mean, we always say about positivity and stuff before the game and during the game, and it's about just believing in ourselves. We know how good we are. You know, we've shown them the first half. You know, anyone watching that game in the first half would have been absolutely baffled if they came at half time and said it was 1-0 to the team. But yeah, we believed in our ability, and you know, once we got the first goal, we then, you know, obviously we probably could have scored double figures at one point, but it just wasn't to be in front of the net. But we kept persisting, and you know, that sort of extra bit of persistence gets you over the line in the end, and you know, come away 3-1 winners, so buzzing.
Yeah, I suppose we've got to probably start getting used to these sort of surfaces, as there won't be many more home games for us to play for the rest of the season. So these are the sort of games that we'll probably end up more in than the silky smooth flowing football that we can play.
Yeah, it's all good dress rehearsals for us. Like, sort of said to me at the end of the game, I said there'll be more, you know, there'll be more challenges and more scenarios like this that we're going to come up against this year. But I'm just really proud of, you know, I'm proud of them all. We didn't stop playing our game. We tried to play the way we always play, and we still moved the ball really, really well, even though the pitch was, you know, the way it was. I'm sure you'd agree from the sides. But yeah, I'm just really, really pleased that we managed to get there.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't get, you pretty much on for a hat trick there, Cara. That one where you just sort of like just nudged it in the first half, about 20 minutes in, and it just went to the side, and everything we did today just seemed to be doing a little bit of that. Thought we were unfortunate, really. You know,
unfortunate,
like you say, could have been quite a lot more than just battling against their defence, the conditions and the referee between them. Yeah. I think we did well to come out with a 3-1.
We did, and I think, like I say, the pitch, the referee, the conditions, I think it definitely made it a lot more competitive for them in terms of bringing them up to our level. But like I say, I think on another day, you know, it could have been a different story. But you know, at the end, they were just pleased we've got a 3-1 winning into the cup next round, which is the quarters now, I think. And you know, it's the cup that we won last year, so we're going to do our best to try and keep it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's hope we can carry on with this defence and get some more goals, eh, Cara? Yeah,
definitely, 100%.
Super. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much, Neil.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
And that is the end of This Club Is My Club for this week. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk. And on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUMradio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.